This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Hi, and I'm Ron Milk, producer, co-host, and homeowner advocate. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, and avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and more.
Your Value of Home airs Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 64 years. Okay, Kev, what time is it?
Time to start the show.
You got it.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home to Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk. Presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you.
And I want to thank our audience for coming back to another great show here at Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, we've got a great replay coming up.
What do we got? What do we got? Who are we talking to?
This replay is going to lead into a bunch of things, but we're going to talk about rental properties. And we have my buddy Scott
on the phone. Subject near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got a rental property, and he's going to talk about some of the things that we've discussed together on how to get this rental property to where it should be. So, Scott, thanks for coming on Your Valuable Home again.
Hey, thank you for having me, Kevin.
So the rental property you have, it's close to your work area, so you have a lot of control in what you're doing with it.
And it's suburban, right? It's suburban. It's not in the city.
Yeah, suburban auto works,
okay.
Yes.
No, I know that, but your property's suburban, too. It's not
in the city.
Yep. Okay. Yes.
So when you had called me a couple weeks ago to say, hey, listen, we have a tenant moving out, and this is what we're thinking of doing. So I want to talk to you about that so our listeners can understand, if they're thinking about a rental property, what are some of the things that they're going to go through so they don't overprice themselves or overbudget themselves on what they should do?
Now, in terms of fixing it up.
Yeah. There's, 'cause that, I know you and I were talking, Scott, about how the best plan of attack to do this. And I always say that it's a good area. I mean, he's right outside Doylestown. It's a great area.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Doylestown.
And if it's in a great area, here's my personal opinion, is to fix a place up enough, some really nice stuff. Doesn't have to be expensive, but it looks nice. And you're going to get a lot of wear out of it, because when you put that extra money in, you're going to be able to get a little bit more rent. More rent, which means more money for long term, and you're going to get better renters. It's all about the renters.
Yeah.
Because you have some bad renters in there, it could be a nightmare for you.
Right. Scott, so what is it? Is it a townhouse or is it a single?
It's an apartment, a second floor apartment.
Okay.
And we've owned the property for several years now. I don't know, 15 years maybe or more. And we've had some tenants over the years, and the most recent tenant has been there 7-8 years. And anyway, they moved out and went up and looked around. And I originally had thought, oh, I'm just going to fix this and that. And I called Kevin because I respect his opinion. And
thank you.
After speaking with Kevin and walking around, and he gave me some ideas, and I went home and did some thought. You know, it makes a lot of sense. You got to put some money in. You're going to get a better tenant. It's going to show well. You're going to have less phone calls with repairs and maintenance. And I think it's really worth it to put a little bit more money in for those reasons.
Yeah, I was faced with the same thing. Kevin knows, he went through this with me when I bought a place in Doylestown, up the road from you a little bit, right? And I looked at a couple of things, and somebody said, you know, paint this wall, paint that wall. I painted the whole place. And put in new flooring in Cortec flooring in the kitchen, two baths and the foyer, and then put it. I looked at the condenser unit out back. It looked like it went in right after the Civil War, right? So I said, rip it out, because it's only going to be a problem. Anyway, you're gonna have to bite the bullet and do it anyway. So I agree with you, and it's going to get more rent too.
Yeah, I feel I'm going to get. I know I'm going to get more rent, And as I said before, and you don't want phone calls with a rental property.
Oh, no.
And if it's remodeled properly and done right, and I've had Kevin do some things for me before, and there's no problems. And if he says left, it's left, and it's right, it's right. And I love using him as a contractor, and he's always helped me out, and his opinion has been great. And if you don't have phone calls and you have, and you put a little more money into it and you get a better tenant, you're not going to have payment problems either.
Well, you just gave me a little tip here. Phone calls. You do your management yourself, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you definitely don't want phone calls. But it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to advise our listeners to stick with us, because we got Scott Abernathy, president-elect of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, coming on to talk to us next about why you should have a property
rental
manager.
Properties.
Yeah, which I do. So, but that's your choice. That's what you chose to do.
Yeah, we have any availability, but you talked about, right, phone calls. For anybody that's having properties and you're managing your own property, you don't want those phone calls. And with having product, as he said, having that product in there that's going to last, it's going to look great. You're going to be able to get that rent. And again, I wasn't giving you unrealistic numbers. If you're getting $1,200 in rent now, you're not going to go to $5,000 in rent. You might get $1,500. It might be minimal increments, but you're thinking of long term. So if you're looking at $300 or even $200 more a month, at that point, if you're looking at spending $10,000 more for an unbelievable product instead of going with the cheap, so think about $200, $300 a month. That's a couple thousand dollars a year you're getting. So within 3-4 years, it paid itself off.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what you went for, but to me, it would, looks is one thing. It's got to be. Got to be today. And durability is definitely a key issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be durable.
You get cheap, it's going to fall apart in 5 years.
Fall apart.
So what's the sense? You got to redo it again.
Yep.
You save $3,000, and then in 5 years, you got to put another $10,000 back into it. It didn't make sense. But again,
when I was with, to your point, when people come in today's world, everybody it's go, go, go. And I want to provide an environment where they can come in. They want to come home. They want to look at the walls. They want to look at the floors. It's comfortable and they don't have to worry about it. And they're going to be there a while.
Well, here's another thing that I know we had talked about, because Tom Adams doing the flooring. What is the flooring that you chose for the floor? Is it carpet?
No, it's not carpet. It is Cortex.
Yeah.
Oh, you use Cortex too?
Absolutely.
That's a phenomenal product, isn't it?
It is unreal. We used it when we remodeled one of our offices that Kevin also helped us with. It's phenomenal, and it just gets so many compliments. I love it.
Gets compliments, and it meets my goal of durability too.
Yeah, especially in the rental properties. Mm-hmm. Because when you put carpet in the rental properties, it's going to get dirty. And nobody wants to move into a dirty carpet that somebody else has been on. So why don't you get a product you can just disinfect? You can put some straight bleach on that Cortex, and nothing's going to happen to it. It can get wet. It doesn't mold up. There's so many great availabilities with that. And you're permanent. You're done with it. So you don't need to redo it again for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So why not have it? Because if you do have a renter, like I said, if you had lucky to have a renter for 7 years, but what if you just have them every 2 years? At every 2 years, you don't want to be able to, you don't want to go to replace the carpet, because renters destroy carpet, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah, carpet, I'm totally anti-carpet.
Yeah. Yeah,
you get one stain on it, it looks terrible.
Now, Scott, are you doing Cortex in the bathroom also? You bringing it straight through?
Yes, I'm doing it throughout the whole, through the kitchen, the hallways, the family room, and the bathroom, as per your recommendation.
Smart.
It will just look phenomenal, and it will provide the perfect flooring that we need.
Smart. It gives you a nice now look, you know, now, quote, unquote, look that
Absolutely.
People, I think, like.
You know, well, a kitchen also. So right when you walk into the left is the kitchen. Now, I was just looking at what she was putting in for measurements. But what did you decide to go with the countertop and the color of the cabinets?
So we went with the Cortex floor, and I went with a granite countertop with a white cabinet. And the granite we chose picks up colors from the floor and the cabinets, and there's not that much granite in there. It's an apartment, but for you just spend a little bit more, it's going to give you that wow factor, and people are going to want to use the kitchen.
Yeah, when you put those pictures online, when you're ready to rent it, that's the first thing they're looking at. What's the kitchen? Then they're going to go to the bathrooms, and then they'll look at the flooring and the bedroom, and that's usually the list they want to see. So if you've got a great kitchen and you can put brand new appliances, everything brand new, that's going to bring the better renters in, because they know that if they see that, usually what happens is the cost is the first thing they're looking at. People want to go into the range. But if you get that picture up right away of the kitchen, people are then going to scroll further to see, hey, is it going to be worth it to spend $200, $300 more a month on a better product? Especially if it's brand new, you're going to be able to rent that right away.
You know, that's an operative word, because when people are shopping for apartments, and there are a lot of them out there today, you know, townhouses all over the place, singles, whatever, it's a product. And your product's got to look better than the next product if they're both priced at, say, $1,500 bucks a month. Right.
Right. And you got to rent it. Yeah, you've got to rent it. So we're in the process of getting that done now. And, you know, the steps are in place. We have it ripped out, and I'm going to be going over there tomorrow to just go and get the next stage of element that we're going to be able to do to get this done quick, because we want to get this back on the market quickly. So we're going to be working some extra hours to get that in and get it done and get you rented, Scott.
I appreciate that. And I always appreciate all your help and your expertise.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. This is after the past couple months, you know, what's another couple extra hours? We figured so.
I knew when I called you. I know you're always busy because of your talent, but I do appreciate you helping and fitting us in.
We'll get it done.
Kevin knows a thing or two.
Yeah.
Because he's seen a thing or two.
Great insurance. But yeah, so we'll get you back on when everything's said and done, and we'll talk a little bit further and see what the cost factor and the budget, and see if everything was worth it.
Great. And thank you so much, Kevin. And thank you for having me on.
All right. Thanks again. And everybody, listen to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Stick with us, because we're shortly going to be doing a college with Scott Abernathy from he's the president-elect of the National Association of Residential Property Managers.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. They've served the tri-state area for 65 years, nationally awarded and recognized for excellence in installation and customer service. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets backs up their installation with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams Windows and Carpets be your one-stop shop for all your home improvement needs. And they have extended their no-deposit, no-interest financing for 3 years till the end of December. Visit TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
This is Joe Krause of Krause's Coats inviting you to donate a slightly worn coat or jacket and help kids in need stay warm this winter. Go to Krause's Coats Facebook page. Join Hair Cuttery Helping Cradles to Crayons. Meet their need of 12,000 kids' coats. Happy holidays.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
For our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And now, Savage Horror Story, Ron. Again.
We got another butte here.
So, yeah, I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at the horror story that we get into. And I tell you, they've been doozies. Everything's been... Not well, you know, I can see that happen. It's, oh my God, you're kidding me, right? This had happened. Well, it happened to me. And
yeah, there's always, the next one always tops the one before it.
It does. It does. But I'm getting tired of saying it and hearing it, because when you're in this business, I get that it's a difficult business. I understand that it's going to be very difficult to do certain things, but you got to do a right job. Not correct, but right. So this horror story was, we were doing windows. It was about a month ago. And when you order windows, you take the measurements, and I've been doing it for a while. Marvin's, I've been doing it for a long time, so I know what sizes can fit into the openings. So the one window they had, they were all 36-inch wide windows. Well, the next size up was a 38, and I said, well, listen, this is a little bit bigger.
So it's two-inch increments?
Okay. It was a two-inch bigger of a window.
Right.
So I said, well, I guess, I don't know why they would have this. And it was a bearing wall. So I said, well, listen, why don't I just order the 38 and just keep with the existing? Because it's a pop out and pop back in. I put the rubber in. I'm explaining step by step on what we're doing. Well, the what ifs came because we were starting the job, and it's, again, it was nice out, so thank God we, because we had to work late on this. We started the front of the house, and we did the 36-inch windows, and we were going all three. So we started from the right, did the first one, pop in, pop out, second one, pop in, pop out.
Third one didn't pop in and pop out, did it?
Well, no, it popped out right away.
It didn't pop back in.
But didn't pop in right away. So I called the wife who was down in the basement. I said, listen, you know, I need you to come up because we have an issue here with one of the windows. She said, well, what's the issue? And I said, were you new to this house? Or she said, yeah, we did the windows ourselves. And so this was about 7 years prior. The windows failed. They were vinyl windows that failed. But they said, we're doing a quick fix. And the quick fix was, hey, ordering windows, and we got them ourselves. But I guess they were transposed. So this contractor decided to make sure that window fit in that opening. Well, if you have a 36-inch opening, it's usually about 36.5-inch rough. You have two jack studs and then two king studs. And what that is holding above is called a header. And that header is holding the support like a Jenga game. It supports all the way up to the upper levels. What the contractor did to get this window to fit was he cut the king and jack stud out. I don't know how the window didn't fall down.
How did it stay up there?
Well, the nice part was it was a stucco exterior, and there was a nice crack going on that corner. So it was coming down. It was starting the process of starting to sag. The weight from the upper floors were bringing this down. So it was small enough that it could take the load because the band joist will hold that. But when I showed her this, I said, this is a no-no.
So it was a problem waiting to happen.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Structure is, you don't mess with the structure. If you do, then you have to rebuild it. So if you're dealing with big jobs, you get an architect, go through the permitting process. But if you don't, you can't cut jack and king studs out. So I said to her, listen,
they're there for a reason, aren't they?
You figure they would be, but no, not at this job. I would never even do that. I'd say, hey, listen, there's a mess up here. But again, it's an easy enough fix, but it's going to be incurring that I got to rip the drywall down and or outside. I said, since we're outside, I can take the stucco, I can cut it back just enough to put a board around, but I had to take all the drywall down on the inside and then reframe that jack and king stud on the one side. I said, I have to pull this out because when we pulled the drywall down, you can actually see there was no space on the left side of the header to the plate. And on the right side was about a 3/4-inch drop. So it started to come down. There was nothing supporting. The only thing supporting was the vinyl window. So it was coming down.
Situation.
No, it's not. But again, I said, the house isn't going to fall down on this. Bigger areas, yes, it can come. But with a smaller window, the band joist above is actually holding that. So the way framing does, the ceiling joists that are above, which you would say your ceiling, that's holding the drywall from the first and second floor. The outer side was a 2x12. So that technically can hold that up. Again, it's not meant to be structure. There still has to be a header there. But I said, that's why it didn't come down. So it's in a short area. But I said, what's wrong is the contractor should have came to you in the beginning and said, we have an issue with this window. We're going to leave that window in, order the correct size window, because you cannot cut structure out without redoing a new system, a header system, to put it back in place. You just can't cut structure out. It's a Jenga game. Basically, they pulled the Jenga game out and somehow it didn't fall, but yeah, it can. So we had to...
So if you would have put the window in, it's just the window holding
it up. The window's holding everything up, and you can't do that.
Not good.
The pressure on the window is either going to break the window, the window's not going to operate.
Crack the glass.
Could crack the glass because all that weight. But again, it's not a large enough span, so I didn't want to scare them saying this could have fell down because they have young kids. It was an area that needed to be addressed. But for a contractor to do this is why I was more upset that somebody's in business to do this and they did it wrong. How can you cut the structure out?
I don't know. How does any of this stuff happen? It's because they don't know or they don't care.
Well, you know, how hard is it to start a contracting company? You're going to be salesman and subs. That's all it is. You're hiring a salesman. You know what you do. Or you could be the salesman. You get a few sub crews in. They don't know what's going on. Hey, just put it in. Don't worry about it. Just put it in. Well, if you don't have that experience, and this is why the horror stories have been, they're greater and greater. Every week, more people are calling in because of these problems that running into. I always say 95% of the contractors really shouldn't be contractors. It's funny because I see their work. I mean, it's funny because some of my friends who are good contractors, I tell them, yeah, listen, if I'm at a job and I see somebody around the corner, I put my golf jacket on, I go walking around to their job and I start asking a lot of questions. Why are you doing windows that way? Why is there no rubber around the windows? Don't you want to foam that window in? And these are the contractors. Well, we don't need it. What do you mean you don't need it? These are the problems that you're having. These are the problems in the industry that people are having. And it's the stucco problem, as we call it. It's not a stucco problem. It's a window failure from not properly prepping the windows under the windows and draining out properly. So if you don't put these proper levels in effect around that window, it's going to leak it's under that stucco.
It's going to fail.
It's going to fail every time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell people. If you don't do it right from the beginning, prep work is the key, especially in windows. If you don't prep it correctly, you're going to have issues. Well, why wouldn't you spend maybe 10, 15% more from the contractor offering to do that? Because if you don't do it, these are the problems you're having.
Well, based on past conversations, too, you believe, and I think you probably convinced me of the same thing, that a lot of stucco problems result from the windows, correct?
I'd say 99% of the ones that I've seen. I've seen a couple where they actually took a felt paper and they started from the top and then brought it back down, which means that when the stucco wicks that moisture in the water, it actually leaks between each of the felt paper seams because it's not done properly. That was only two jobs.
And that's where you get rot. That's where you get mold. You get all the bad stuff.
Right. But most of the time when you see those stucco guys popping in those prods, they're prodding under the windows in the corners or in the middle if you have a twin, because that's where the moisture is coming in. The window seal, the weld broke, and it's leaking down in that corner, and it just pours right out and rots all that substructure out, which is your plywood or the OSB board that's put down. But those are the problems that you have. But even if you have stucco, vinyl, windows, whatever you have, if it's done correctly from the beginning, it's an insurance policy. Because I tell people, like, well, they said, well, if I put vinyl in, it's going to leak again. I'm like, well, yes, it could possibly leak again.
So based on what you're saying, it's more the application or the workmanship and the knowledge behind the workmanship than it is the product?
Correct.
Okay.
Because even if a vinyl window does fail, that rubber that we put under the window is going to allow that water then to sit on that and then drain properly because the foam's applied to the back. So when moisture gets on that, I'd rather it sitting on rubber than plywood or wood itself.
Yeah, because wood and water don't mix.
No, they don't. So that's why there's the horror stories are going through the roof, and it makes it a little bit easier to, you know, when you get a good contractor, it makes it easier for you that you have a good peace of mind that it's not going to happen again. So again, if you have any horror stories, give us a call here. I'd like to hear your horror story, and we can then educate our homeowners and listeners on how not to have it happen to them. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And stay tuned. If you own rental property and you manage it yourself, you may change your mind after you hear this next segment.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. They've served the tri-state area for 65 years, nationally awarded and recognized for excellence in installation and customer service. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets backs up their installation with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams Windows and Carpets be your one-stop shop for all your home improvement needs. And they have extended their no-deposit, no-interest financing for 3 years till the end of December. Visit TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
And thanks for coming back here. We got an unbelievable college for you if you're definitely in the rental
this
properties.
This is good.
So thank you, everybody, for coming back. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And Ron, what do we got going on for the college?
Well, we got two schools of thought here. Kevin and I both have rental properties, and he chooses to manage them himself. Now, he's got a little bit more knowledge about, you know,
just a little bit,
fixing things than I do, and I don't. I use two different management companies because they're in two different geographies. So we've got with us somebody who's been on the show before. His name's Scott Abernathy. He's the president-elect. Congratulations on that, Scott. Of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, and he's going to explain why his thousands of members manage properties for tens of thousands of rental property owners. So, why should our listeners, Scott, with residential investment property, consider a professional property management company? What services do they perform?
Sure. What I like to say a property manager does more than anything is headache relief.
Oh, tell me about that. Yeah.
Sure. You own a business. Now, I truly do believe that a property manager can ultimately make a investor more money, a better return on their investment, but it's not going to look like it because, I mean, you got to pay them to do it. So what it's really more about is the headache relief that they get from it. If you buy a rental property, it's not like other investments where, you know, you buy a share of stock and you just sit on it and you do nothing with it and it might go up, it might go down, you might give it dividends, you might not. With a piece of real estate, somebody has to run it. Somebody has to find the tenants. Somebody has to move them in, get all the documentation done, get their maintenance done, turn the property over. All these little headaches that go along with landlording is what a property manager takes away. I like to say a property manager turns their business back into an investment. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense to me. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend has a couple of properties too. She manages herself, and I look at her and how she runs around with all this stuff, and I say, I don't want to do that. Especially the more removed your property is from where you reside, the more difficult it becomes to do. Okay, and you're always running back and forth. I don't want to do that because I do other things. So basically, what you're saying is, can a property manager handles all the details of A, securing the tenant, B, the background check, executing the lease, conveying HOA rules, all that stuff, right?
All that stuff. And it's also an emotional barrier. And I believe that every landlord needs an emotional barrier between themselves and their properties. A good example of that is myself. I learned the hard way that I need somebody to manage my own personal rental properties as well. I learned that because I had a property that I was asking too much for. I'd spent too much money on it. I'm your typical landlord, and I wanted to get more money out of it than I really should. I wasn't getting any applications. And when I finally did get an application, I looked at my assistant, Holly, and I said, you know what? It's one of my properties. Don't worry about processing it. They're two sweet girls. They're going to be just fine. She says, now, Scott, we got to treat everybody exactly the same. I said, oh, shucks. Go ahead. And sure enough, those girls had evictions on their record. Both of them did. And even I, the professional property manager, was about to take them because of my emotion to the property.
That's a horror story.
It's a horror story shortcutted.
Yeah.
It's a good story. That's right. Because we did not take them because of that. Thanks, Holly.
You know what? I mean, today, it's a very litigious society, okay, that we live in. Having renters, whether they're long-term or short-term, say like in the case of vacation properties or an Airbnb, there are many, many, many legal considerations. I've seen that. Are your members schooled in legal matters by region? Because it varies by region somewhat.
It does vary by region. And, of course, it varies by member as well. But, yes, that is one of the things that NARPM emphasizes on is legislative affairs, which keeps the members informed of changes that do happen in the law. And there are so many changes, especially regulatory changes, that are going on right now.
Yeah, I've noticed that on your website. You update members. You advocate, too. Doesn't your organization advocate?
Yes, we do. We've got a strong advocacy, especially from a national basis. We partner with other trade associations for the local affairs, state and local issues.
Okay. All right. So you're keeping them up on – how many members do you actually have?
Around 6,000.
6,000 members.
That's a nice number.
Are they spread evenly across the country? Do they clump up on the coasts or what?
No, they do clump up, but it's more like a big giant smile across the country. We start in Washington State, and it swoops down through California, Texas, and the Southeast, up to about, you know, Philadelphia. That's about where it ends. And we have some members up in the Northeast and the Midwest, but it's pretty thin.
That's
a
big smile.
It is a big smile.
3,000-mile smile.
3,000-mile smile, yeah. Okay. What would your recommendation be if somebody says, you know, I'm worried about all this legal stuff. What do I do? What would be my best course of action? Is it to get a property manager?
I would think so. An experienced property manager. And they're not all alike. You know, when you get to these more rural areas where really you don't have a choice, but a local realtor, they're probably not going to know the landlording property management laws like a professional property manager would, but there are a lot of traps that a landlord can fall into. And yes, a property manager should help you avoid those.
Yeah, I had a little difficulty, and I have another property in Philadelphia too, with that property at one point. And I had a property manager, but I wasn't crazy about him. And he was the guy who built the place too. So I got a lawyer involved, and thank goodness I did, because I could have really stepped in it. You got to be very, very careful about that stuff today.
You do, especially when it comes to fair housing or anything to do with the environment, you know, mold or issues like that.
Yeah, especially mold, because people are very attuned to that today. There's a lot of publicity about negative publicity about it. So you got to know exactly how to address it if you have the situation arise in one of your properties.
Or any kind of safety issues like that. Yes. Another big one would be smoke detectors. You know,
oh yeah.
If you got to look at a judge and say, well, no, he wasn't worth $40, you're going to lose, you know?
You're absolutely, yeah, absolutely right. So here's another one for you. Should a property manager be able to advise an investor about how much to charge for rent? Number one, a pet policy. Number two, and how much should be escrowed, charged monthly for a pet. how much of the security deposit should be retained when a tenant moves out, all that stuff, all the mechanical details, all the nuts and bolts.
Yes, they should. A good property manager should be able to walk you through not only that, but what makes a good investment. Is this property going to be a good investment? And if so, how much should the rent be? And how much should the security deposit be? What is the market going for? Remember, the property manager doesn't set the rents, and neither does the landlord. For that matter, they don't set the terms either. It's the market that does that. There are some markets you can't get away with something like you can't smoke in a property because smoking is so prevalent. Most markets you can get away with that now, and I'm just giving that as an example.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I bought my two properties, because I did them sort of back, well, they were in two different years, but back to back, I knew I wanted the properties. Kevin and I are both stock market averse, so that's what I chose to do. And I had a formula, basically, that I was using to choose the property in the city, and another formula to choose the property in the suburbs, in a place called Doylestown in Bucks County, which happens to be the county seat. So I figured there was always going to be a rental market there. Okay. So is that the way a property manager would approach it?
From a capitalization rate, most likely. And I'm not sure that I really like the cap rate as a figure myself.
Uh-huh.
I am more interested in what the internal rate of return is going to be. That's the long-term return on a property. Because your cap rates are really not near as attractive as they used to be. But the internal rates of return are fantastic these days.
So I'm thinking as a homeowner here, if I'm looking for getting into the business of buying properties. So if you're looking at four or five properties, I mean, the best thing to do is to get a manager to do this. So I'm presuming that so walk me through the steps if I was going to do this and I wanted to hire you as a property manager.
Sure. Even better, not just a property manager, but I think it's important to have a property manager that also owns rental properties. You'd be surprised how many property managers do not own rental properties. And
really?
The reason I say that is they have an idea of things like maintenance cost. I mean, you find a property manager that doesn't own properties. The fact that a $1,000 paint job is a $1,000 paint job is just not that big a deal to them. But you and I as investors know how much a $1,000 paint job stings. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yes, it's not Picasso. I can get $1,000.
And I got to say, $1,000 is pretty cheap for a paint job these days. But you see what I'm getting at. Okay, should we touch it up or should we paint the whole thing? How far along is it? So I think it's important that they have a relationship there to understand what the sting of cost is. And yes, they do need to have an idea of what kind of cash on cash return a property is going to yield somebody. If you're putting $20,000 into this piece of property, how much cash am I going to get after my loan? They should have an idea of that. Yes.
All right. You know, when my two rental properties are distinctly different. I bought the one for one reason, and that was basically rental income and steady rental income because it's in the county seat. And then the other one I bought in Philadelphia was for appreciation because there was a tax abatement on it, and I figured I'd get good appreciation on it if I could still sell it with some tax abated time left on it. So is that the kind of thing you would advise on in terms of different areas, different properties, and why you buy one and why you don't buy another one?
Yes, it is, because everybody's situation is going to be different. Mm-hmm. If I've got a young investor that doesn't have a lot of money but has a lot of time on their hands, I'm going to focus on the lower income properties that are going to yield a better return, but they're going to put some more work into it. If I've got a physician that's, making $400,000 or $500,000 a year, but works, 90 hours a week, I'm going to emphasize on an appreciation play for him. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Let's get back to the legal side of it. Something that I would cringe to get involved in, and that's eviction. Which can get very complicated. Would a property manager handle all that and disputes with tenants?
Yes, they would. A property manager would handle all that. And I'm going to have a lot of property managers going to be mad at me for saying this. But many of them will offer you what's called an eviction protection, where they'll pay the cost of an eviction. You know, guys, I offered in my company also, and I love it when an owner pays for an eviction protection program. You want to know why?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
because the chances of me having to evict somebody out of that property are so small because we've done proper screening in the
correct
first place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. If you don't do that proper, it's no guarantee. But again, if you do that proper screening from the beginning, you're trying to minimize that. Because nobody wants to evict anybody because it's got to be a lot of paperwork and time to do it. So why don't we hang on tight? We're going to take a little break here, Scott, and we're going to get right back to talking about a little bit more eviction, a few more questions we have. And you're listening to Your Valuable Home here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Who do you trust in your home? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. They've served the tri-state area for 65 years, nationally awarded and recognized for excellence in installation and customer service. Tom Adams Windows and Carpets backs up their installation with lifetime warranties on windows, doors, flooring, and more. Let Tom Adams Windows and Carpets be your one-stop shop for all your home improvement needs. And they have extended their no-deposit, no-interest financing for 3 years till the end of December. Visit TomAdamsWC.com. TomAdamsWC.com.
This is Joe Krause of Krause's Coats inviting you to donate a slightly worn coat or jacket and help veterans in need stay warm this winter. Go to Krause's Coats on Facebook and join Martin Law, the law firm for workers, to help those who served. Have a happy holiday. Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
You're starting a home project. Let your valuable home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
Yes, you're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we're in the second half of an interview with Scott Abernathy, who's the president-elect of the National Association of Residential Property Managers. So if you've got a residential property, listen up. This is really important stuff.
Hey, Scott, does somebody ever call you Excedrin just as a nickname? Because you know what? To get rid of headaches, I tell you, that is a great thing.
Yeah.
It does. It makes a lot of sense just for the first event. I'm thinking in my mind that you're eliminating headaches. And for people that are residential, go ahead. But yeah, I'm thinking, man, Excedrin, this would be great. That should be your mantra, is that we're the Excedrin for you.
It really is, actually. It absolutely. We call it Advil, but same difference. Yeah.
Same thing.
The headache medicine. But yeah, so let's get a little bit more about this. One thing is about the eviction, because nobody wants to evict somebody.
No.
They want to be able to get a good tenant.
It can get
in,
ugly too.
And it can get ugly.
Yeah.
So having a management property, what the landlord does, they just sit back and let the management company deal with everything. Is that correct?
Well, okay. For starters, let's talk about evictions. When somebody is stealing your house, why wouldn't you want to evict them? Because that's what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Stealing your house. If they walk out of Walmart with a television set, they go to jail. But they don't get any punishment for stealing your house. So you're well within your rights to remove somebody from doing so. So we got to take that stigma off of landlords. And secondarily, eviction is just a process. Depending on the state you're in, it's more complicated than others. But it's between a 45 and a 60-day process usually in a state. I mean, you get states out west. And some of the folks up in the Northeast also can take longer time. Or anytime you're in rent control areas. Do you have rent control in Philadelphia? Do you know?
I know about Philadelphia. Yeah. In New York, you definitely do.
I know New York does also, right? Yeah. I'm not sure about Philly either. But you get in those areas, sometimes it can be more problematic. Or Washington, D.C., if you're, any of your listeners are in the D.C. area, that can be really difficult there too.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do property managers normally, do they collect and retain funds that are held in escrow for like last month's rent and pet deposits?
They do. A property manager should only pay the owner the rent that they have actually earned at that pay period. Now, keep in mind, rent is prepaid. So if something happens to that house, like on the 10th of the month and there's 20 days later, it burns down, you've got to refund the tenants their remaining balance.
What if they burned the house down?
Okay, then you got to charge them with it, and you got to figure that out. That's a whole different animal.
That's another legal question.
Say act of God or something like that. So rent is prepaid. When we collect the last month's rent for somebody, and we do that frequently just to ensure to secure the owner's benefit, We do hold it in our trust account, and every good property manager should have some experience in trust accounting because that's a big part of their job.
Here's a question for you. Do you as a management company, do you have inspections, like surprise inspections, just to go into the property to make sure they're keeping up to their end of the bargain without damaging
that's
the property?
That's a great question, yeah.
So every property manager is different. It's going to depend on what you negotiate with that property manager. Our company does not come with walkthroughs or inspections just automatically. That is something that an owner would pay extra for. But there are some companies that may charge a little more in their fees up front and include it in there. So it's all very variable.
Okay. Yeah, because I try to think in my mind that I always let the tenants know that, hey, listen, I'm going to come down. Because over the last conversation we had about having pets, you know, a lot of people think, why would I want to rent to somebody who has a pet? But you're taking a large percentage of the people for renters to get renters in there because they have pets. So I started to rent to my tenants with pets. I'm going to get some more money up front. I'm going to do some surprise inspections. But again, people don't have that time. So that's why I was asking if a management company would be able to do that for the tenant. I mean, I had a charge, I'm sure, but just to make sure that the property is in good shape.
Yes, they will. And we have a lot of our clients that will order those on a regular basis.
Okay. Scott, does being a property manager require a real estate license? Our broadcast areas, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, for example. Are they required licenses?
I wish I knew for sure in every state. I know that Maryland does not require a real estate license, but I am not sure about the states you just mentioned.
I think PA does. I've checked on that before. I think PA does.
Yeah. Idaho does not. There's most states do require a real estate license for somebody to manage
properties. Okay. All right. What's the best way if Kevin wanted to? I think he's got a little wink in his eye. I think maybe you're convincing him here. What's the best way to evaluate a residential property management company?
Wow, that's going to be more of a challenge than you might think.
Ron does that a lot. Just to let you know, he does that a lot. Throws a lot of curveballs. Sorry about that.
That's okay. The first thing I would do is go to NARPM.org, and that's the National Association of Residential Property Managers. I would look to see what property managers are in your area. There will be professional designations that those property managers can have also, which will indicate a higher level of education and experience and commitment to the industry. And that would then they'll be labeled like that with MPM, which is Master Property Manager, or RMP, which is Residential Management Professional. Those would be the first ones I'd reach out to. From there, you're gonna talk to each one of them, and every one of them will have something a little bit different. So if the system doesn't work for you in one, it might work for you in another. And that's the same for the property manager. The property manager will be interviewing you as well to make sure that you and your portfolio fits within their system also.
Makes sense. And then what should a residential property owner expect in terms of fees? How much does it cost to get a renter, for ongoing management, all that stuff?
That's going to vary also. And that's going to vary by region as well. There's so many different ways a property manager can charge for their fees. Some of them are a flat fee and they have, different service fees, a la carte stuff. Ours happens to be a percentage of the income, and that's going to depend on the location of the property, how many units they have, and what condition the property is in. And then we have some a la carte things that they can purchase also. Like I mentioned, the inspections a little while ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are others that are going to have a larger management fee, but everything else is included. So there's a lot of different ways to live. Unfortunately, it's really difficult to compare apples to apples.
Yeah, that's the way I pay. I pay as a percentage of monthly income, which is fine with me. I mean, I have two reasonable percentages. These guys have done wonderful work for me, and I love them. Absolutely love them.
And that's pretty common, anywhere from 8 to 15%. It's a pretty wide range depending on the type of property. Anyway, if it's got a lot of red tape involved in it, like Section 8, you're going to pay more for it. Okay. On the other hand, if you've got a whole bunch of units in one location, you're going to pay less for it.
Okay. Yeah. Can you offer a rule of thumb for making money with rental property? And that's a loaded question, too.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this answer.
Okay, a good rule of thumb for acquiring rental properties used to be something called the 1% rule, and a lot of your audience has probably heard of that, where you want to analyze a property is going to make at least 1% of how much you're going to pay for the property per month. that rule of thumb is kind of going out the window because capitalization rates have dropped so much. And as prices go up and rents don't keep up with them, we're really looking more like a 0.7 or a 0.8 instead of a whole 1%.
That's about where I am.
Percent rule. Yeah. that's not uncommon. And that translates to a 6 or a 7% cap rate, which is pretty strong in today's market. But that's a decent rule of thumb. Outside of that, what I'm really more interested in is cash on cash. I'm going to invest this amount of money in this property, and my payment and my expenses are going to be here. What's my return on the cash on cash that I put in?
It's good.
It's all about the cash. Everything's about the cash.
It's all about money talks.
So that's really not where the wealth is built, though. The wealth is built in the equity and the amortization of the loan and the appreciation. If I got something that's just paying for itself, I know I'm still making money.
All right, Scott, we got music playing in the background. They're coming to get us with a hook. So, if somebody wants to check out your organization, where do they go?
Go to narpm.org. That's NARPM.org. And then find out all they want to know about us.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks again for
very
coming
educational
on Your Valuable
segment.
Home. Yeah. We do appreciate it. Thank our audience for coming back. And again, if you want to hear anything or a subject, give us a call at 215-364-3286. And thanks again for listening.
Thanks a lot, Scott. All right. That about does it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you learned a lot. And the more you listen, the more you learn. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.